Hey, Bookwars Pod listeners, Kristen here. We just wanted to come up front and apologize for some of the audio issues that we had during this episode. But rest assured, we think that they are Skype related, which for anyone who's tried to use Skype for any amount of time should possibly not surprise you. But we have hopefully resolved the issues by switching to Google Hangouts to do our recordings. So hopefully the sound quality and the audio issues will be improved next week, but we wanted to at least acknowledge that. So this is episode 14. We hope you enjoy it despite the audio issues. Thanks.
Hello and welcome to the Book Wars Pod, episode 14, not 13, episode 14.
You've literally said that 2 seconds before starting this
I
recording
know. It's
and yet
fine.
still fucked it up.
I know. It's fine. That's what happens. It's because I was saying in my head, make sure you say 14, make sure you say 14. Today
Very
we'll
weird thing to
be
psych yourself out about.
that's how it happens. Today we'll be wrapping up our discussion on Thrawn by Timothy Zahn. Speaking of Timothy Zahn, I sent you guys some photos of some Timothy Zahn books when I was in Barnes and Noble this week, and
You did. It was pretty
it
great.
was
Oh my
pretty
God.
funny. Apparently, he only writes books that close rhyme with his last name, which we thought was pretty funny. Anyway, it doesn't matter. What are we drinking today?
Well, I have very exciting news for you. We finally bought beer.
What?
Yes. I
I know.
know.
It's a big day. We are drinking a the Sunflower Pils from Flying Dog Brewing, a local brewery.
I love Flying Dog. That's awesome.
It's delicious.
Do you like it too, Kate?
It is delicious and refreshing.
That's great. I just
Bought at the brew shop in Arlington, Virginia.
Thanks, Chris.
Yo. Good job, guys.
I
I just
know.
finished my second margarita because I was only gonna have one, but then me and my boy found out that we got the apartment that we applied for. So,
Woohoo!
yay, exciting things.
Is it on Hoff?
What?
Is it on Hoff?
It's on Hof. It's very cold there.
Yep.
There is central AC though, so it is on Hof, as far as I'm
Yes.
concerned.
Best in
Oh my
I
God.
so I just finished that, but now I'm drinking. We are splitting. He's over there, like measuring things, like a very good apartment person. I'm drinking. Who makes this? Three Magnets Brewing Co. in Olympia, Washington. And it's called Sea Storm, Stormy Double India Pale Ale. So
Ooh.
I'm excited for this because I've never had it before, and I have. It's in my Elysian glass. It's not in my Froggy Bottom glass. I think that he used my Froggy glass to create the margaritas. So, but let's
Guys, remember what
dive.
happened the last time?
What
Sorry.
were you
You're
gonna
like about
say?
to like just still be on topic, and I'm like, guys, remember last time I had a double IPA and that ended up great.
Well, yeah, you drank
I
like a
actually
tall
don't.
boy of it. That's
Yeah.
why.
Oh, was that that? Okay, I'm
Yep,
gonna
we
go
were
back.
recording. Time.
Yes.
So, I mean, let's just dive in. We talked a little bit already in if you missed any of our previous discussions on Thrawn, we encourage you to listen to those. But we talked a lot about the perspective in Thrawn and how interesting it was because for the first time, at least on this podcast, and the first time in a lot of the now canon books, we are rooting for the Empire. So, not necessarily, since we have the full picture, we kind of know that we don't want the Empire to succeed. But if we were just taking this book out of context, I think we would say that we wanted the Empire to succeed. Is that fair?
Till we find out that they're enslaving Wookiees.
That's right.
Yeah, that's a deal breaker. That's totally
Don't
a deal breaker.
mess with the Wookiees.
Well, this beer is delightful. Okay, sorry, that was my first sip.
But yeah, no, it's like super weird. I mean, like for the first time in the books that we've read, I mean, I guess in the Darth Vader comics, are we rooting for the Empire? I don't know.
No,
That's
we're
hard.
not, because it's Darth Vader,
Because
and we
Darth
know
Vader's
the things
still.
about Darth Vader, I think.
This is true.
No, we're just really shouting for it for Anakin's fucking just desserts.
Accurate. But yeah, no, for the first time in the books we're reading, it's like, it's weird. It's weird to be rooting for the Empire. And like, then like about, I don't know, halfway through, 2/3 of the way through the book, we find out that Night Swan is actually like a rebel and running a rebel cell. And like, you've been thinking Night Swan is like Thrawn's fucking white whale that he's never going to catch.
Right.
And like, oh no, Night Swan's a good guy.
Yeah, how did that change your guys' kind of view on the book when we get to that part? Like, how did y'all feel when we got to that bit, basically?
Well, I'm sure Chris has some feelings, but I have a few. And mine are that...
Yes, ma'am.
Geeks, are you, like, vamping by, like, saying that I have feelings and then being like, but I have some that I'm going to talk about right after.
No, I have them. I just wanted... I didn't want to cut you off, but you didn't start talking, but I was, like, preemptively making sure I wasn't cutting off.
Ah,
but anyway.
Gotcha.
Okay. Very slowly.
Well, now I probably forgot my point. No, but I thought it was really interesting that Night Swan put such, like, a low value on his own life, because I don't think that... I mean, we've seen some of that, I guess, in, like, Rebel Cells, where, you know... But most of the time, most of the Rebels that we know in the Star Wars universe are like, I need to keep myself alive so that the Rebellion can carry on. And we did not see that with Night Swan. Night Swan was like, I know I'm going to die, it's fine.
Right. Like, I think, now that you bring that up, I think ironically, the person that we probably get that sort of point of view from most often these days is Harrison Dula from Star Wars Rebels, which is the weirdest comparison, and now my brain is broken.
Yeah. What do you
think,
Chris?
It's interesting, though, because, like, I feel like Night Swan was, like, he was a rebel, but he also, like, by the end of it, is, like, very broken. Like, he's, like, he doesn't really care anymore. And, like, I feel like that's kind of evident in how easily Thrawn defeated him in the final battle on Bataan. And, like, the fact that Night Swan had this whole, like, thing planned out and Thrawn was just one step ahead of him.
Well, to be fair, he kind of mostly lost that battle because Price blew everything up inside of a bubble.
Well, the space battle, though.
Yes. Got
You're
it.
Right. Yeah. Sorry, that's a very good clarification. I'm talking purely about the space battle in
got
which,
it.
Like, Thrawn, like, in which, like, Night Swan ships, like, didn't even get to, like, the Star Destroyer before they all died. But it's interesting because, like, he talks about, like, how he, like, wanted to be a rebel and, like, wanted to unite, like, rebel cells, and then, like, everybody was bickering and he gave up and he just decided to die on Bataan. And it's like, I don't know, it's very interesting. Like, we talked last week a little bit about how we were, like, kind of conflicted about Night Swan as a character, and that he wasn't really anybody, like, major, and we, like, had trouble, like, identifying with him because of that. Like, I feel like that was kind of an acknowledgement of the fact that he really isn't anyone special. He's kind of an everyman. Like, he sees that the Empire is bad, you know, in a way that maybe the reader doesn't. The whole time. He is sick of it, he tries to fight it, and he fails.
I mean, like I said last time, that's kind of emblematic of the beginnings of the Rebellion, right? It's just a bunch of people who are fucking fed up, and they just kind of scrappily try to do their thing, and, you know, this is long before the Rebel Alliance even thinks about coming together, so,
Well, Night Swan isn't. Night Swan, because the Battle of Bataan is right before Thrawn is introduced on Rebels.
Sure, but even so, like, they're Rebel cells, but nobody knows about each other.
Yeah.
That's, okay, fair.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. I mean, that's funny that Kate says that, brings up Hera, because I totally see that, but what I couldn't stop thinking about when Night Swan, you know, decides that he doesn't give a shit about dying, all I could think about was Saw Gerrera. Because
totally.
He was like, yeah, no, I don't, whatever. Like, I, you know, don't really trust anybody. I don't really trust, like, hooking up with other rebels, even though they're trying to do that. Where does that...
Yeah, it's interesting.
Where does that lie as far as, like, timeline concerned? I got the same book that you guys were looking at, so now I want to, like, take out my book and see, like, what... where this fits in versus what was the book with Jin called?
Rebel Rising. It's not on the timeline though, because it's a different publisher.
Of course, it
yeah,
is.
It's not
great.
Yeah,
the YA books are Disney Hyperion.
Good talk, everybody.
But no, I mean, so this is just about 2 years before, through just three years maybe before Rogue One. Okay. So this is about 16, or sorry, no, like
so,
3 BBY.
So I think what Keeks is asking is this taking place contemporaneously with Rebel Rising.
Right.
And I think it is.
I think it's
actually.
Yeah, parts of it. I think this is after Jyn leaves Saw.
Yeah.
But it's, so this is like kind of during Jyn's like on her own period.
Yeah.
Which would totally make sense that all tracks with what Jyn's experience was versus what we're seeing even from the Empire's point of view in this book, don't you guys think?
Yeah. Oh yeah, totally. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's almost like the Lucasfilm story group planned it that way.
It's almost like Lucasfilm got bought by Disney.
And started doing things well.
Ta-da. It's kind of interesting you bring up Saw though, because like I thought about that. So I have a question about that. I don't know if I think that Saw was ready to give up his life until like the end where we see him in Rogue One, where it's just like he's half a cyborg and he's like he's got like a collapsed lung basically and all this other stuff. Like I think, I don't know, before that it's like, why else kind of would he leave Jyn in that bunker on Tamsi Prime if not to save his own fucking skin? So I don't know.
That's fair.
Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think one thing that's important to keep in mind is Night Swan was always good, and he was like very offended by the tactics of Higher Skies and like trying to assassinate people, and Night Swan's like very anti-killing.
That's true.
Like very, you know, justice-oriented rebel, let's say, like whereas Saw, as we've talked about in episodes 1-3 of the Book Wars podcast when we talked about Rebel Rising.
Holy God.
just a super terrorist.
Yeah, plug in there. But yeah, no, like Saw's a terrorist. Like Night Swan is, I mean, just I hesitate to even bring up terminology of extremists in today's America. But like it kind of is like Night Swan's more of a freedom fighter than to Saw's terrorist.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so it's just like it's interesting to see like they kind of start from, well, they don't really start from similar places, but like they go along similar paths in fighting the Empire and they end up at very different but and yet similar places. It's interesting.
Right.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But did you find Night Swan more sympathetic once you figure out who he was? Like, I mean, how do you feel about Signy, I think, when you which is who Night Swan is when we first meet him, is very different from, I think, how we feel about him, for example, when Eli goes to meet him on his random space station shit thing.
I didn't, only because, and this is kind of goes back to my, like, a little bit of disappointment with Night Swan as a character.
Okay.
It didn't feel like we were, like, seeing any of Night Swan throughout the book. Like, had we had, like, hints of, like, and then Night Swan outsmarted Thrawn again, or, like, just, like, any hints of anything about Night Swan besides, like, Thrawn just being obsessed with him throughout the book, I might have, like, been able to forge more of a connection.
You wanted that man behind the curtain.
I did, and it never, I mean, it simultaneously didn't and did get revealed.
Sure.
In like, a very weird way that, like, made it hard to form a connection for me.
Sure. What about you, Cakes?
Yeah. I don't know, it was, like, mollusks. Other mollusks also, and I was like, okay, I know that we know that Night Swan did this on purpose, the mollusks, the, like, oyster meat or whatever the fuck it was.
How big are those fucking mollusks that you could hide fucking Dunium in them?
I don't know.
I mean, how big is ore when it comes out of the ground? It's not that big.
It's a lot of fucking mollusks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, how do you think they're found? This is like fucking mollusks, dead mollusk city up in this bitch.
Fucking trilobites built the Death Star.
Oh my god. Anyway.
Dead mollusk. Let me just repeat that. Dead mollusk city up in this bitch. Okay. I think we found the title to this episode. Dead mollusk city. Sub up in this bitch. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. Kate, I want to hear you talk about more about point of view, because I don't have too much to say besides, like, I wish there was more Night Swan, because,
sure,
like, I didn't give a shit that much when we found out who he was.
Right. So, one of the things I want to talk about is, this is kind of a weird connection to make, but when I started thinking about what we were going to talk about this episode, and I started thinking about point of view, what I immediately wanted to compare this to was Lolita by Nabokov, which is bizarre, but hear me out. So you're reading Lolita, and obviously it's narrated by Humbert Humbert, who is a pathological liar, a pedophile, a sexual predator, all this other horrible, horrible, horrible shit, which is why Lolita is banned in the most places.
But if you haven't read it, you should read it. It's important.
It is. It's,
in my opinion.
It's such a fascinating
book. I haven't read it.
Shame. Shame on you.
I'm hiding under a table right now.
He is literally hiding under the coffee table, which is really funny because Chris is 6'2" and it's not going well.
Chris, no one can see you.
No one. He's just like, no, of course not. So one of the fascinating things about Lolita, which makes it such an interesting piece of literature, is that you're reading it, and again, it's narrated by this horrible person, but he's so charming, and it's written from his point of view, so you're immediately invited into his mind, and you're kind of going along with it, and you, just by nature of how you're trained to read books, you're identifying usually with the protagonist, and the protagonist is usually the good guy. So you're kind of rooting for this person, you're going along with it and all this stuff. And then you know, you put the book down, you go to the bathroom or whatever the fuck, and you're like, oh my god, am I starting to like fucking like have like this deep like personal connection with a fucking pedophile? Because that's horrible. And it's kind of the same effect that you get in Thrawn, because of course, you know, we've said before, we're, like, going along, we're reading this book, and we're reading all about Thrawn's adventures, and, like, he's such an admirable guy, you know? Like, in spite of himself, there's some charisma about him, because he's so good at his job, he's so brilliant, and, you know, I think there's something almost endearing about the fact that he has no people skills. Like, I think a lot of people find that, like, cute or something, for lack of a better term.
The Sherlock Holmes effect.
Right, totally. And then, you know, there are these moments in the book where you have to step outside of the reading, right? And put that world aside because you're so immersed in it. And you come back to yourself and you're like, these are horrible people. And, you know, we keep talking about the bit with where they find the Wookiees, but that's definitely one of them. You know, once you get to the second half of the book, there's just more and more of those moments where you're just like, oh, I shouldn't be rooting for these people, but I want to, but I don't. And it's just kind of this, it's weird, it's interesting.
That's
anyway,
funny
that's
that, that brings up Lolita for you, because that brings up The Stranger for me. Existentialism.
That's also great. Wait, do you want to talk more about that, or?
I mean, not really, I just was, you know, we are products, if not of anything, then of what we've read previously.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's funny that even in this, is this considered YA, right?
No.
No, Thrawn's firmly in the,
whatever.
Last time I said adult books, you got mad at me, so
adult
I don't know what it's
adult
called.
Adult books.
It is a book for grown-ups.
Grown-up book.
Read.
Book for ants. No, but it's okay. Interesting, though, because, like, sorry, I have one more point perspective thing, and then we can move on. Because, like, part of, like, our, like, stated mission is, like, how this fits into the larger Star Wars universe. And, like, as much as we're, like, thinking about it from the perspective of, like, you know, if you didn't know the rest of the Star Wars universe, like, you might be rooting for the Empire. But, like, at the same time, this is written as, like, I think it's fair to say that this is written expecting that this is not somebody's first experience with Star Wars. I think that's very fair to say.
Yeah.
And so, like,
it'd be weird if it was, right?
It'd be a weird choice. Sure. Just, hey, I've never seen Star Wars, but this guy's blue.
All right, I'm right here. You don't have to talk about me like that.
But, like, it's interesting because, like, if this was, you know, like, by definition of reading this, you know that the Empire is evil for the most part. And so it's, like, kind of, like, not so much giving you the view of trying to pretend the Empire is good as much as it's trying to almost humanize the Empire and humanize the people who work in the Empire. And
yeah.
Kate is looking at me with that, at my use of the word humanize, and that takes us right into our next point. But basically, it's like,
I literally wasn't. I was staring into space because I had to burp.
Oh, well,
that's fine too.
That was a flawless transition.
Yeah.
But
well, let me break up the flawless transition, as is in my nature.
It's long.
But let me piggyback on that a little bit, Chris, before we move on to the next point, just because I think it's really important. So, yeah, there's all this quote-unquote humanizing of the Empire, but at the same time, it's like we still learn that it's, like, full of shitheads. Like, it's not like it's not like we're like, this whole book, this the Empire is the best, and they're out here to do all of the, like, right and just things. Like, they don't skirt around the fact that people in the Empire are doing shady shit, whether it's, like, from Price's point of view or any of the Moff's point of view. So, at the same time, like, obviously, it's from that point of view, but I don't necessarily think, even if this was somebody's first, you know, rendezvous with the Star Wars universe, that they would necessarily think that the Empire is good. Just because
of, that's true.
Like, I mean, just because it's from, I think that they would think Thrawn was good, because Thrawn, you know, has sort of, you know, quote unquote good, whatever, however you want to say it, values human life, values life, etc., etc. But, I mean, we definitely still have, like, Price in there to really shake things up.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's actually a really great point. And I think it's fair to say that after reading this, I actually, even though it was from the Empire's perspective, I actually feel worse about the Empire as, like, a moral entity. Because, like...
Same. Because the Wookiees.
Well, because the Wookiees, but also because, like...
It's always, like, because of the Wookiees.
The Wookiees, yeah. Sorry.
But, like, because, like, in, you know, in the movies, you see Vader and the Emperor, basically. And, like, you know, Tarkin, but you see the higher-ups. And you see them being, like, evil and, like, anti-freedom, and the rebellion's fighting for freedom, and yada, yada, yada. But in this, you see, like, the middle managers, the admirals, the military, basically all branches of this, just, like, genuinely being very bad people.
Yep.
Like, yeah. just objectively bad, corrupt, like, killing people, like, trying to frame each other, just not good or nice people. And, like, it's kind of like the see all sides. Well, you know, they're patriots, but we just have different points of view about whether or not we should enslave Wookiees. But,
like,
sorry. Jesus Christ.
You but just like, hit but like, way too close to, like, what's actually going on in the country.
Yeah, see what I did there? But like, seriously, though, because, like, it kind of is a, like, yeah, we see both sides, and these people are scum.
Yeah.
Sure. Right down to the kids in the academy.
Oh, my God. Right. Those kids in the academy with the card game and everything. Oh, my God. So I think that really brings us right into our next point about how racism is racism, and we have biases when we read Thrawn.
Hey, found a transition after all.
Hey,
I'm sorry. I had the burp.
But yeah, like, one thing that kind of, like, struck all of us was, like, when we first started reading this book, about how when Thrawn is doing, like, his, like, Thrawn things, where he's just, like, noticing things and, like, noticing the color of people's faces. Like so-and-so got redder when they said this. So-and-so was giving off more heat. We kind of, like, thought of it as, like, weird and alien.
Right.
Which is, like, because we're human. Like, we think, we're like, it's weird that you could see heat coming off someone's face. That's a weird reaction to have.
And also, like, the book kind of invites us to be in Eli's shoes. And Eli is Imperial, and he calls Thrawn an alien all the time, because that's the word they use for non-human life forms.
Mm-hmm.
As we've talked about previously. Which is fascinating. So, I don't know. Like, reflecting on this, like...
Kate, I don't know. Except for...
I don't.
Here's my point.
Yes. just reflecting on this, I don't know. How does that kind of make you see Thrawn's character? That, like, what we're putting on him is similar to what other people in the book are putting on him?
Yeah.
You know? Totally. I mean, I think it kind of relates back to that perspective, doesn't it? Because it's, totally. Like, to a certain extent, we can't be in Thrawn's head.
Sure.
Because there are humans in this book, and we are humans, and we can know what they're thinking, but we don't know Thrawn.
Well, and we can understand their, like, points of view and the way that they take the world in, but Thrawn obviously takes the world in a much different way than we do, because of his heightened senses of things that we don't really understand.
Right, that's an interesting point, because one of my, I don't want to say problems, but one of the things I notice about the Thrawn point of view sections is, of course, you know, you can't not notice the fact that he's always making observations, and in that sense you do get into his head, but in terms of, like, feelings and things like that, you don't really get any of that, and that's,
and that's interesting. Yeah, I don't mean to run over Chris, because I know he's trying to make a point, but,
Oh, no, I had nothing. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Chris had nothing, so I'm going to keep doing this.
Yay!
No, but, I mean, I think it's very interesting, just insofar that, people are different, right? So, we come with this bias that we think probably non-humans are also different. And, you know, if we looked at, we find out at the end of the book that these sort of, like, italicized entries that at the beginning of each chapter are diary entries, right? Thrawn's journal, whatever you want to call it.
I'm not sure yet still if they're fabricated or not, but
Sure. But I'm just thinking, like, so let's just say we take those, like, as reliable.
Sure.
I'm just sitting here thinking, like, what Kate writes in her journal would be much different than what I write in my journal, because we are very different people.
And my journal. Fuck.
Yeah, no. That's her whole journal. I mean, that's also my journal, but they're, like, mine is, like, fuck feelings, and hers is, like, fuck ideas. Like, those are different. seriously,
it's
like,
beer. It's fine.
We only have, it's interesting because we're like, are all the Chiss like this? Blah, blah, blah. What can we glean from this one person? And that dredges up all of this, like, interesting information and bias that we have, like, in our own life, that's in our own lives that, are, you know, it's not just about, you know, it's the I have a black friend argument, right? It's like, great, all black people are not the same.
What?
So good for you.
Great point.
Not to delve this into that area, because I know all three of us are just so, we shy away from that. No, we don't. but you know what I mean? Like, I think that's definitely part of what we've been doing, is, like, we've definitely posed on this podcast time and again, like, is this just a Thrawn thing, or is this a Chiss thing?
Right.
And it's like, well, can the answer be neither and both?
I love that point so much, and it is really making me want to read a book that is the Rebellion from the perspective of the Mon Calamari. I would read the shit out of that book.
Oh my god. Can we get an Admiral Ackbar book? Is anyone listening to this podcast?
Can we get an Ackbar and Radis book?
Is anyone listening to this podcast?
Fucking make this happen, because
I would just like to point out that Kate is an author. I would just like to point that out.
Pitch it. Pitch to Del Rey.
What am I?
It's totally not gonna work.
Oh my god.
Pitch to Del Rey.
I'm gonna get, like, they're just gonna, like, look at my tweet and be like, what the fuck is wrong with this?
Yo, it's actually very, very small tangent on that. It's actually really funny, because every once in a while the Del Rey Twitter will be like, what questions do you have for us? And people will be like, how can we pitch you a story? And they're like, no. They're like, we don't accept solicitations. We solicit authors. Because we're a real publishing house with actual money.
But can I send them my fanfic? They want red example.
Yeah, you can send them your fanfic. Hey, Claudia Gray said this is fanfic. Beth Rivas said this is
fanfic.
I don't remember.
Claudia
Gray
does write fanfic, though.
I know she does. Sorry, Beth Jesus. We love you. My bad. I've had 1 to 17 beer. Other things. Quinn just brought me another one. So it's the same thing I was drinking last week.
Oh my god. Chris is, like, trying not to, like, facepalm on the coffee table, because just fuck up the mic. Anyway.
I'm drinking 3-way IPA to update you guys. I just had a word conversation with my boyfriend's eyes about how I wanted more beer, so he brought me some, because he's the best.
Word. Conversation.
Word conversation with the eyes. silent conversation is what I meant, but.
Oh my god.
Me have one tiny tangent, and then Chris can yell at us to get back to the point. I told him, so we're finally upgrading from a studio to a one bedroom. And I told him good luck, because we're going to put the bed in the living room and the bedroom. I mean, yeah, so the bedroom's going to become my pod studio. That's all the
yes.
And the bed will be in the living room, so it'll just be like studio life, but it's like all the real studio now.
I like it.
I love you.
Anyway,
just like cut a like glass window into the bedroom door, so like
with a
like on the air light, it'll be great.
Hey,
yeah,
honey.
Exactly.
Oh, exactly.
Anyway, we've
Wait,
gotten.
I'll put a little like doggy door in there so we can like slip beer into me.
Yes.
That's it. You know, like at the bank where have like the two-way doors. Yeah, just like that.
It's gonna be like your version of like George's like setup under his desk in Seinfeld.
Oh my god.
Exactly. Oh my god, I was just watching that episode. Oh my god, fuck. did you guys hear? Okay, one more tangent. I'm so sorry, Chris.
You're
I
got not a sorry. Chop.
I was in LA, and there was some sales going on at the Barnes & Noble. I mean, this is a callback because I referenced this earlier, but I did get a chop.
Chopper.
To go with my other droids. And I did get the Star Wars trivia game for us to definitely not play at any point.
Oh, we're 100%.
That's going to be amazing.
It's going to be great. We should do that while you're visiting us.
Oh, yeah. No, that is going to be me asking you guys questions, and if you have no answers for me, then me finally giving you the multiple choice, and I will not be participating.
When did it come out?
I don't know. That's a great question. It was only $10, though, so I bought it immediately.
Fair. I'm just wondering if it's going to have all this, like, random-ass extended universe shit. Like, what was the name of the giant otter that Han Solo fought?
Oh. I think it's canon.
Oh, okay.
I think it has the Disney logo on it.
Okay.
Which is why I was so confused that it was only $10.
I know, right? When was the last time Disney sold something for $10?
Yeah, for real. Oh, my God.
Don't tell Disney that Barnes & Noble is selling their stuff for
$10. Right?
They won't be happy.
Lawsuit.
My God.
Okay, anyway, this has been a super tangent, but Chris also participated in it, so we win.
Yay! okay, so I wanted to take your point.
We have other bias shit to talk about.
I do, actually. I wanted to take your point that you made before we went on the change about just representation and stuff like that. So, I just wanted to throw out there.
You guys
there.
Hear the train? Sorry.
What'd you say?
You hear the train?
No, I don't.
Not until you said it.
Yeah. Sorry. It's good. The train is so loud.
All right, the official train of the Book Wars Pod.
The official train of the Book Wars Pod.
Should we wait till it goes by, or should we just?
No, just keep going.
All right, we're rolling.
I just had to bring it up in case people are like, "Why is there 75 trains outside of Kristen's window?" It's just one train. Not even that close.
It's one train that is 75 long.
That's right.
Anyway. Fuck me, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, so I just wanted
White
to throw out
racist
there.
This is what you were going to say, sorry.
Thanks. Throw out there this, like, thought that I literally just percolated my brain hole that is not at all fully formed. But I just wanted to just make mouth noises about how much the Empire is a colonizing force on Thrawn, and how much he expects the Chiss Ascendancy, which is clearly its own empire of some undetermined size in the Unknown Region, but it sounds pretty fucking huge, how much he thinks that they're going to take over and whip all these motherfuckers into shape because they're better.
True.
Yes, I just want to just throwing out colonialism buzzwords out here, but I don't know. It's just...
Kate, I love how you give all of these, like... hey, this is, what are those called? Those are called when you, like, give a warning that something is not fully formed. Words. What are they?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh my god.
It's like a
like,
warning?
Yeah, well, like, hey, like, this isn't...
Like a caveat?
Like, fully... sort of like a caveat. There's a word for it. It doesn't matter. It'll come to me and I'll yell it out. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
But I love how you're like, this isn't a fully formed thought. I don't even read the fucking outlines before we start the podcast.
Isn't a fully formed thought. Let's talk about colonialism. Okay, Kate. That's great. I don't know. It's just...
No, we should. That's what I mean. I brought it up.
No, it's real.
I sort of brought it up anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. I know it was my point, but I felt like it was super fucking relevant, so I said it.
No, it is, because, like, it's... I mean, it's kind of relates back to our whole discussion last week, where we kind of talked about, like, what does the future hold? Because we don't know what the future... Like, we don't... I mean, Thrawn doesn't seem to be super concerned about the Empire as a threat, but, like, is the Empire a colonizing force? Are the Chiss a colonizing force? And Thrawn is fucking, like... Dr. Joseph Conrad in the fucking jungle, like...
Because we don't know how old, like the Chiss are, right? Not that
no,
that
we know much,
but
nothing about the Chiss, basically.
Right. And I mean, we already actually do know the Empire's colonizing force because they hate non-humans.
Well, that's true. That's accurate. It was we do know they're a colonizing force. We don't know if they're going to be a successful colonizing force,
sure.
Shall I say?
Sure.
Like we don't like we don't
word,
or
that I was searching
or
for is
Snoke going to come out of nowhere and.
Gotcha. Okay. Let me qualify this point by saying it's not fully formed.
Nice. But yeah, like, but we don't know, like...
I've never done that before.
That's like a really interesting place to take the Star Wars universe, like, in the future, like... Because, like, basically the only enemy we've ever had in the Star Wars universe is the Empire. Like, we have the First Order, but it's basically the Empire. And, you know, they would love me for saying that.
Nice.
But...
Good point.
But, like... Are the Chiss going to become antagonists? Are the Chiss going to become heroes? Are the Chiss going to become allies in the fight against something darker? Like, we really don't know. And, again, our biases could be turned the fuck upside down, like, in the future,
Chiss,
which is...
going to be wiped out by Starkiller Base 2.
Yo, what if they bring the... No, they're not going to bring the Chiss into The Last Jedi, but that'd be fucking baller if they did.
I would start screaming and it'd be ridiculous.
I don't know. Maybe
it's fine.
Like, maybe Rey is part Chiss. She just didn't get the blue gene.
I find
oh,
that.
Well.
Oh my God,
sorry.
I'm not gonna say that. I'm like, I'm not gonna do it. And then you did
the
it. And then you did it. All right.
Sorry.
The phone.
you can't hang up with the phone. It's on my computer.
I need
it's
more
not
beer.
A phone. Yeah, get another beer, Chris. Me and Katie will talk amongst ourselves.
All right. Anyway,
there are
let's
other
just,
things
let's just
on this outline that we're definitely not allowing Chris to get to, but he's really trying.
Right. I'm really trying.
Okay, this is a mystery story.
Know,
that's
point,
what we're talking
this
about.
Next point, no, this is one that I was actually like very excited to talk
go,
about.
Go, go, go.
Please, Chris,
like,
go.
It's kind of a different, like,
Blue
this
jeans.
Was a completely different genre. Oh my God.
Oh God, I started being hurt so bad.
Oh, okay. Kate, giggle away from the mic. I will belch away from the mic. Chris, go ahead.
Jesus. All right. First of all, first one.
Chris is not sorry.
But this is the first real, like, mystery we've read. Like, and honestly, like, I've read a lot of the other canon. Like, this is kind of unique in the Star Wars canon so far. Like, most of them are, like, action-adventure books, very similar in tone to the movies. Rebel, like, you know, you have some that are, like, aimed at younger audiences, but they're all kind of, like,
yep, because younger
driven.
Audiences cannot enjoy action-adventure.
I know, yeah, no, yeah. you're absolutely right. But, like, they're all kind of, like, character-driven, plot-driven, like, good guy versus bad guy. You know what's going to happen, and you just need to see how it plays out stories. And, like, there's exceptions to that. I mean, obviously, Rogue One was a big game-changer in terms of genre for the Star Wars movies. But, like, we don't really see a mystery in Star Wars ever until now. And, like, this is, like, very much, like, from the eerie, like, kind of horror story beginning, first chapter where, like, we meet Thrawn, to, like, kind of the, like, Thrawn putting together the pieces behind the scenes about Night Swan, to, like, whatever the hell's going on with Price and the conspiracy theory. Like, it's not really a whodunit, but it's kind of, like...
It's like a thriller, almost.
Yeah, it's like a thriller, exactly. In a way that we don't really get in Star Wars. And I found that very interesting as I was reading it to, like, think about what about this background and this story caused that and what it adds to the universe.
Well, I think one of the first things is that, you know, let's continue beating the living shit out of the dead horse, but Thrawn is, like we keep saying, a really Sherlock Holmes kind of character. Like, it's in his nature to think about things of this nature in this specific way.
Well,
and then tell people about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because we get a little bit of Eli, right? Being like, I don't know why the fuck Thrawn is so obsessed with this. Like, we get glimpses of that, which is interesting because, like, in a lot of mysteries, that's, like, less of a, you know, having not been a huge mystery reader, for lack of a better phrase, but you know, you don't get so much in mystery books, like, you know, you get the narrator being like, this person is questioning why I'm so obsessed with this, and I think they're wrong, and you're like, yeah, they're wrong, figure out the thing. But Eli's right. like, I don't know why. We're just trying to, like, keep our heads down, like, make sure the Empire doesn't blow up, like, you know, stay in rank. I'm trying to get Thrawn to stop doing stupid shit that pisses everybody off. Like, so that, I mean, I think it's definitely a mystery book, right? Because there's so many unanswered questions. You know, first is the Night Swan question, and then there's the what's all the Dunium going to question. And we find them kind of both out at the same time, just because Night Swan gives us the finishing pieces to most of right. the Dunium questions, which is kind of interesting. I thought that was an interesting wrinkle. I didn't necessarily agree with the way that unfolded, but I did think that was an interesting wrinkle.
Yeah,
totally. And also, side note, based on that, I loved the way that, like, we kind of thought that Thrawn was never going to figure it out, and then in, like, the last scene, Thrawn's just like, to the Emperor, oh, by the way, what's the Death Star? Like, that was kind of like the crowning, like, just because we're not done beating this dead horse, like, that Sherlock Holmes, like, figuring it out moment of, like, he knows exactly what's going on, he's figured it out, and, like, he solved the mystery, he put together all the clues, and he solved the mystery, and it's just, like, I don't know, I had a point, I lost it.
I was gonna say, Chris has a point, it's called silence, and he wants you to think about what you've
it's
done.
It's dramatic silence.
I have a point. Just
to remind me to not cut that dramatic silence out, because I usually cut out all of our dramatic silence. So just remind me, hey, you know that like 25,000 seconds of silence before Chris made a non-point? Don't cut that out.
Yeah. All right.
sorry to bust your balls, Chris. I just we're trying to be as back to normal as we can here, given the current state of the political climate in this country.
Oh my god, that my health. Anyway, the point.
That's
what I wanted
related,
to say,
Kate.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Only maybe.
Only. Maybe. Keep going. Sorry.
Just to go back to your point about like how this is kind of an unusual mystery novel just because we get multiple perspectives. I think that is unusual in mystery novels, again, with the exception of Sherlock Holmes, because isn't he, like, that normal guy who, like, has to, like, translate Sherlock's fucking brain for, you know, quote-unquote lay people?
Well, yeah, I think
go ahead, Chris, sorry. I'm like, so let me make this point. I've never read any Sherlock Holmes, so I have a lot to say.
I've not read all the Sherlock Holmes books. I do know almost like all the ones I've read are from Watson's perspective.
I was gonna say most of them are from Watson's perspective, from what I understand, which is interesting. That would be like the whole thing being from Eli's point of view, right?
Yes, and the thing is, honestly, it's kind of mostly from Eli's point of view.
Oh sure,
a lot of it is, yeah. But it's like I kind of like that this was like a mystery because it was like this is kind of like uniquely suited to be a mystery because, like, we don't really know, like, we know where Thrawn ends up, obviously. He ends up as Grand Admiral on season 3 of Rebels, blah, blah, blah. But, like, we don't know anything about how he got there. It was, like, really ripe. We don't know anything about his background. We really don't, like, it was really ripe territory for Tim Zahn to, I mean, in some ways, return to because he wrote the now Legends Thrawn books. But, like, to really introduce new readers in a way that wasn't purely expository in a way that like kind of like leads to these questions and like I don't know, I like love bringing new genres into the Star Wars universe. Like Kate and I have talked about this at length about why I love Rogue One so much and that like it is just a completely different kind of Star Wars movie.
Hey guys, and, save like, it for the fucking pod.
We don't talk about movies on the pod. Jeez,
okay,
Kristen.
We can, though, but, like, any Star Wars discussion... Okay, yeah, you're so right, because we get on no tangents about anything on this whole podcast, so I cannot see how in any fucking universe that we would ever talk about anything that has to do with genre in the movies. I don't... Yep. Okay, you get what I mean. Save it for the pod.
But, yeah, like, it's... I feel like... just the differences of genre just adds so much to the storytelling ability because it like adds to not only just are we like learning the new facts and like the new like the Spark Notes, the Wikipedia version of what's going on, but like it's being told in a completely different way and that like it exercises different like parts of our brains and like thinking about it. And it's just like, I don't know, it's very interesting about how to get more mileage out of the same story.
No, I think that's right. I mean, go ahead, Kay, I'm sorry.
No, you talk.
Oh, I was just gonna say, like, I think that's exactly right, because we're sitting here, you know, connecting this story to present day things, whether or not we really want to, present day news stories, what have you.
Yay.
And I don't know that that's something that would necessarily come as easily with a lot of the other media. I mean, especially the movies, right? I mean, there's obviously crossovers, but this is very much like, you know, treating Thrawn as other equals racism, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's
right.
That's not like a far fetched thing,
right?
I mean, and that's part of what this podcast is about. Is like, obviously we talk about how Star Wars is space opera, in its purest form. You know, episodes 4 through 6. Is that? Yeah, 4, 5, 6. That's right. That's 3.
You can count.
Sorry, I can't. I really can't. but I can't. I can't. Why can't I say can't count? There we go. Can't count. Count. Can't read. Have no eyes, etc. Oh, I'm gonna count. I am gonna cut all of that out. All of that is getting cut out.
Don't you dare!
All the grossest noises I've ever made.
I felt the impact, y'all.
Yeah, that better be. Because that was just a roller coaster of emotion. I laughed. I cried. I didn't know what was gonna happen.
I still can't say it. I can't count. I can't read. There we go. Very slow. But that's very, like, you know, now that we're talking about, like, genre bending in a lot of ways, you know, George Lucas says that those are space operas, and they're very much space operas. There's a reason why, like, there's no real backstory, and there's no, like, real story building there. They're space operas. Yeah. That's exactly what they are. And people are like, yep. They lack this. They lack that. I'm like, have you ever seen an opera?
Oh, my God. That's such an important point. That's such an important point and is basically why we're doing this podcast.
Yep.
Because, like, you can't get this stuff, like, from the movies. Like, and I feel like that kind of leads us into kind of our next question, some of our last thoughts about the book. Like, what did the form of the media add to this story? Like, we couldn't have gotten any of Thrawn's internal monologue in a movie without it being, like, stupid, like, fucking, like,
voiceovers. Yeah.
And it would have been weird. Ooh, and, like, we get so much more detail from this being a book, and so much, like, because Thrawn is a very cerebral character and doesn't talk unnecessarily, and, like, we need to know what he's thinking for this book to work. For this story to work, I should say.
Yep. Nailed it. That's all my thoughts.
Well,
shit. Mic
drop. Right? Chris, so, now that I've said that this is uniquely suited to being a book, plot twist, they announced at Comic-Con? They announced at Comic-Con in July that they're turning the Thrawn novel into a comic miniseries. Like, I am gonna be honest, having read the book now, I can't picture that.
I mean, I think it'll work, especially because you can divide them into chapters based on, you know, whatever because of its episodic nature, whatever shenanigans are going on. And, like, comics have fucking words in them. Like, comics. You totally have an internal monologue.
I know anything about comics, but, like, so far, everything that we've, like, seen from this, you know, Star Wars comics situation so far has been really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, I think it's going to be, like, we've been saying how much we would love to be able to have visuals for a lot of the space battles, because a lot of the space battles in this book are on such an epic scale. Like, we'll be able to see that in the graphic novel, and that's really exciting to me.
Yeah, definitely. I will say, no, go Keeks.
No, I was just going to say, thanks, Disney, for taking everything Star Wars off of Netflix. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Boo.
It's fine. Shonda is getting a Netflix exclusive, so I'm actually, like, so happy for Netflix. Like, that's a fair trade.
Yep.
But also, if you haven't watched The Clone Wars yet, guys...
Get on it.
Yeah, like, that's kind of on you.
Do it.
Wow, Chris.
But no, like, I will say one of the things that I enjoyed about this book is that we got more space battles than we've ever gotten before. Like, we didn't really have space battles in either of the first few. And, like, I feel like those are very hard to write. Mm-hmm. Like, I actually thought that Zahn did a really good job.
Oh, for sure.
Of writing the space battles, but I want to see them. I want to see Thrawn, like, just dominating in space on screen.
I mean, that's what, like, made Zero Hour so fun.
That's exactly what made, like, that's what made Zero Hour so fun. That's part of what made Rogue One so fun, totally. Was seeing the Battle of Scarif. Yeah.
Yes. Gotta love a good space
and, like, battle. The Battle of Endor and, like, Return of the Jedi, the Battle of Coruscant, and Revenge of the Sith. Like, they're, like, a long history of on-screen, like, fleet battles in space. That is, like, I would, like, they're never going to turn this story into screen-based media because they're already doing a lot with it, but, like, I would love to see it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, just to cap that off, we're fucking hyped with whatever they do with this.
Fuck yeah.
I mean, if you want to know more about, like, where we think this could go, listen to episode 13, which just came out today, which is the day we're recording, even though this is not coming out for another week.
Yeah.
Days.
Because you can't count.
I sure can't. Can't count. Can't read. Yeah, so this is coming out. You'll be hearing this on the 22nd, but the episode that came out on August 15th, we talk a lot about sort of what you can expect, what we think we can expect from Thrawn, and what sort of Lucasfilm, Disney might be thinking about building on. I think we address a lot of the quote-unquote weaknesses that we see in the book. We talk about how those could be weaknesses and or could be more to build on.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, Zahn's perspective, so. Zahn wants to write a sequel, and as we've said, it's all set up for a sequel, so hopefully Del Rey gives them the green light, because we want more.
That's what we can hope for. All right, yeah, so let's move on to Easter eggs, since I never do my homework. You guys can start.
My favorite, there actually weren't a huge number of Easter eggs in this book.
There were calling back, apparently, to the Thrawn books in the Legends universe, but we don't know any of those.
Tell me more. I would like to read those for some other content for this podcast, perhaps.
Yeah, so if anyone if anyone has read those books and has some fun facts for us, please do tweet at us.
At
Book Wars Pod. I'm looking at you at Southern Cynic, because you, like Keeks, love Thrawn the most.
You know what she loves? She loves some blue motherfuckers. I get it.
She does. And that's what she's awesome.
We love you at Southern Cynic. You're the best.
We do.
My one favorite Easter egg that's, like, from the canon universe is that, like, I just love that Governor Azadi's just a scumbag. Like, he seems like such a, like, greasy asshole in Rebels when you meet him, and, like, he just seems like a horrible person who just happens to be a rebel, and so you have to like him. And I just really like that. No, he's actually a scumbag who is just, like, mad corrupt and just, like, steals Price's parents' firm before Price actually becomes evil. And I enjoyed that. I enjoyed having a reason to hate Azadi because he seems like an asshole.
He's the worst.
All right, I was going to say, let me build on that, Kate, even though you have, like, a real one that is right here in the
outline. No.
I was going to say, one of my favorite Easter eggs is, like, Price in Rebels. This is exactly how I pictured Price, because I still pictured Price kind of outside of the Rebels. And also, she just, like, has, like, a high bun. She's, like, fucking mad. She's just, like, trying to fuck shit up, you can tell. She's very, very angry at all times at nothing.
Yep. Much like me.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's so weird. Except for you guys are very different.
Oh, thanks.
Throw that out. And also, it's so weird that I would ever bring this up as an Easter egg, but it's so weird that there were, like, space pirates and somebody that I know and love that happens to be a color was not there.
Kristen?
It's not my fault. I mean, you asked me for my favorite Easter egg. This is always my favorite Easter egg. It's my least favorite Easter egg, in that Hondo should be in every book and every piece of media, because he's not even dead yet. And the fact that he's not in everything pisses me off.
He's just gonna be like that, what the fuck is that voice actor for Pixar, Chris?
You know, I hope that he's Snoke. I hope that he's fucking Snoke.
Hondo is Snoke?
Hondo is Snoke. Hashtag Hondo is Snoke.
Oh my god. I just want Hondo to be like, what the fuck was his name? You just said it, Chris.
John Ratzenberger?
Yeah, John Ratzenberger, who is a voice actor, and he's in literally every single Pixar movie.
So Hondo is going to be that, and that Keeks is going to complain about every single Star Wars book that Hondo isn't in it?
All right, anyway, so my favorite Easter egg, guys, is...
the people want what they want. What they want me to do is talk about Hondo every wrap-up episode.
Yes, I've definitely heard that feedback from literally everyone. No, I haven't.
You're not my mom.
Sometimes I am.
You're my mom most of the time.
I know.
This got weird.
Did it?
Yeah, it did. It's so strange for this podcast for it to get weird and off track.
Anyway, so my favorite Easter egg was during Thrawn and Nightswan's final face-to-face confrontation where they have that discussion, and Nightswan's like, oh, so are you going to kill me now? And Thrawn's like, you're no use to me dead. And then Nightswan is talking and saying, you must think me quite the mercenary, which are, of course, quotes almost directly lifted from Boba Fett and Leia from the original trilogy, respectively.
Now I just want to watch the original trilogy.
Yep.
Can't imagine why you guys would ever do that.
I don't know.
All right.
I was going to say, Chris, it's now time for wrap-up, which is what you are designated as, no matter who leads us in.
Well, I was totally going to let Kate lead us in, because I...
Oh, wait, right. Sorry, I had a brain fart. This is my point. Yep. Guys, I had a beer. Just wanted to very quickly do some social media shout-outs like I do sometimes on the wrap-up episodes. All of you guys have been really chatty with us on Twitter, and we fucking love that the most, especially me, because I mostly run the Twitter, I'm not going to lie. So, again, thank you to Southern Cynic for also being a Thrawn mega fan. Alex, at Avenger at Heart, thank you for sharing your thoughts. We, too, think that the Thrawn point of view sections were super interesting. Again, we've never seen anything like that in any of the canon novels, so that was super fucking cool. We've got Shannon, who joined us via Geek Girl Diva's awesome retweet of us. Yay, thank you for joining us. And then, there's this person. I have to look up her handle. But also, while I look up this person's handle, who I want to give an actual, like...
Just continue vamping. Always vamp.
And actual shout-out to, I just also wanted to thank everybody who interacted with us on Book Lovers Day and told us what some of your favorite Star Wars books are. We are taking notes. We're going to have to bump Lost Stars way up the list for early next year.
Yeah, seriously.
We've kind of scheduled our reading schedule through the end of 2017 because we're extra, but...
Yeah, just peek behind the curtain. As much as you can't really tell, a modicum of thought does actually go into this podcast, and so we have a bit of a schedule.
Oh, okay. I found our handle, yay. Thank you, Celestial Intent, also, for enjoying the fact that Kristen says weird things on the podcast, and it makes you laugh. So...
All right. Chris is really saying, sorry, Kristen doesn't read the outline. And Kristen is saying, you can go fuck yourself, Chris. I have great points, regardless of whether or not I read the outline. Also, we're just going to call out at Real Baby Bird, because
she tweeted real things at us, though. I, too, would love the hell out of a sequel, quote-unquote, love the hell out of a sequel, where my sweet baby nerd, a.k.a. Eli, hangs out with the Chiss.
Yeah.
I would
love to shout out Miranda because she likes to bring up points to us about how she works in like military supply. And it's like actually about Eli, and we're like, Miranda, nobody knows what the fuck you're talking about. And she's like, great, let me tell you more about Eli. Which is great. We love that. So shout out to Abby.
Basically,
if you're not following at Real Baby Bird after listening to any of these podcasts, you should definitely follow her because she's the best.
But also follow us and talk to us.
Basically follow us at Book Wars Pod. Also, this is basically just our way of shouting out everybody who interacts with us. So if you listen to the podcast and interact with us on Twitter, you could probably get a shout out because we want more listeners and more people to interact with us. So do your homework. listen, interact with us, get us more listeners, be our hero.
You'll get a shout out if you tweet me dog gifts. You will definitely get a retweet as, oh no, I don't remember what your handle is and I'm really sorry. But as that person learned when I retweeted two dogs in the span of 30 seconds, I love dogs and I run the Twitter. Same. So tweet me some dogs. Also porgs. Also love cats.
Oh God.
Follow us on Twitter.
Porgs are so cute.
They
yes.
Really
are.
I know.
Oh, are you talking about the person who tweeted dogs at you?
Yes.
What we're talking about. Oh, dude.
That guy's great.
Tweet dogs at us though, right? As the podcast.
Yes.
I can't stop belching. I'm sorry.
So while Kristen's burping, we're also available on Tumblr. You can, if you don't Twitter, you can drop things in our Ask Box. Again, we're BookWorsPod on Tumblr, and we're also at BookWorsPod@gmail.com if you are old-fashioned. If you want to send snail mail, too fucking bad because we're not giving you our address.
Yeah, no.
That was Brian L. who sent the dog gifts.
Thank you.
His handle is at, I can't read it, so it's, I'm going to spell it, at BLIVENGO. Blivengo. I think it's just Blivengo, but that's fine. Blivengo.
I can't.
He put cute dogs up on our shit that we retweeted. They were very cute dogs.
They're really cute dogs.
This is some great hashtag content.
Okay, listen, he also tweeted me a salacious crumb, and I don't need to look at that in my life, so...
Yeah, that's fair. All right, so we've gotten... Man, there was a time 20 minutes ago, and I was like, man, is this going to be a light podcast? Nope. Kate, bring us home.
Yay! Okay, guys, I'm so excited for our next book, because in case you missed the part where I called myself a canara giant fucking dumpster fire, I am a canara giant fucking dumpster fire. And I'm very excited that next time we will be reading A New Dawn by John Jackson Miller. We're going to be reading through chapter 17, so please do join us. And I apologize in advance for the loud, screechy, crying noises I make every 5 minutes.
Yeah, we're gonna try hard to adjust those in editing.
Yeah, Chris,
so that
I might like, make you edit months. All those fucking podcasts.
Oh, God.
Chris and I were we're doing a Rebels rewatch right now before the fourth season starts, and we
still
were...
have a date, right?
No.
The date is butthole o'clock. Thank you. Thanks, Disney. You guys are great.
So it is. Dave Filoni. Filoni specifically said butthole o'clock. So we're doing a Rebels rewatch right now, and we just got to the season one finale, Fire Across the Galaxy, and we're just like there making just like screeching noises every time. Kate and her hair made a sad face, any time ever. I have a problem, it's fine.
Hashtag dad can still see. God, fuck. Oh my god.
No, that's the part where the Grand Inquisitor was, like, literally about to drop off that ledge and, like, end himself, and he was just like, there are things far worse than death, and I'm like, going blind.
Going blind and not being able to, like, see the curves of your lady.
His curly
wife. I love
my
curly Twi'lek wife.
All right. If I couldn't see the curves of his Twi'lek wife, my Twi'lek wife, I would also be very upset. For some reason, I can say Twi'lek wife, but not anything else.
Not can't count?
Can't count. I got it! Whatever.
Right. Well, we're not going to end the episode on a better note than that.
Can't count.
I'm Chris. From Kate and Kristen, thank you so much for listening to the Book Wars Pod and our discussion on Thrawn, and we will talk to you next week.
The book is called A New Dawn.
That's what I said.
Did you?
Yeah!
It's called A New Dawn.
Ooh, beer. Thanks.